Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Well, everyone knows the rap. Drivers in the Commonwealth are just terrible. Yesterday, the Allstate Insurance Company gave us some numbers to back that up. In its 10th annual America's Best Drivers Report, which ranks the driving habits of 200 of the most populated urban areas, Boston ranked 199. Worcester, right at the bottom, 200. So let me clarify. That is bad. Really, really bad. Allstate basically crunched the numbers and found that Massachusetts does have the worst, riskiest drivers in the entire nation. So maybe we all knew that. But the question is why? That's what we're going to talk about with a driving expert in just a moment. But listeners, I do want your opinion on this. Are you one of those bad Boston drivers, those bad Massachusetts drivers? What are some of the worst behaviors you've seen or maybe are seeing on the road? And why do you think driving here is so bad? And what can we do about it? 1-800-423-8255 is the number to call. 800-423-TALK. Maybe you shouldn't do that if you are driving right now or pull over or something. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston. But, you know, cell phone. Phones and cars, bad mix. Joining us now to talk about this is Dan Strollo. He's president of the In Control Family Foundation, a nonprofit defensive driving school in North Andover. Dan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so Allstate says Boston and Worcester are the worst. Springfield's number four in terms of fourth from the bottom, I should say. Do you believe it?
I don't have any trouble believing it at all. What's kind of interesting, if you look at the details they gave us on the study, the likelihood of getting into a crash if you live in Boston compared to the national average is 129%. So we really are not doing ourselves any favors. And I think we don't necessarily see the same loss of life as some states have or urban areas, but simply because of the traffic issues. We can't get up to enough speed and necessarily be doing as much harm.
Oh, so congestion is helpful in that
case. It's helpful
in
some
here.
But we're crashing on a much more regular basis than a lot of other people.
Yeah, and Allstate found that car operators typically make it, 4.4 years between accidents in Boston. In Worcester, it's only 4.3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess all the dinged up cars around town kind of are evidence of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are a very smart group of folks, but we just haven't taken driving very seriously.
Why? Okay, so why is that? I have been living here now for 16 years. I learned how to drive on the West Coast, however, so it was a baptism by fire when I first came out here and got behind the wheel. I couldn't believe the driving culture.
I've lived in the Midwest, I've lived on the West Coast. First and foremost, this really is a national issue, period, because the United States used to be one of the safest places in the world to drive back 40 years ago, back in the 70s. Now we're pretty consistently down at the bottom of that list regularly. So we just have to improve as a nation. But I think in Boston, we tend to, it's a badge of honor to not use your blinker. The idea that you can just ride up behind somebody and stick there. We, for a long time, were the number one in rear-end collisions, and most of that's due to people just tailgating and not caring enough to give the safe distance. And it's never going to get anywhere quicker. It's just something we tend to do.
But people have to take driving lessons. They've got to take the exam in order to get their license.
Well, think about here.
They're schooled in what the defensive driving should be.
If you want to go watch a driving test for your average 16 and a half to 18-year-old who's going through driver's ed, the driver's ed school may take the actual course pretty seriously and spend a lot of time working on things, but the test itself is 3 to 5 minutes of driving, whereas in other countries, it's an hour. They're actually forced to do things like put the car into a skid and prove they can regain control. Here, it might be a three-point turn, or it might just be drive around the parking lot and come back, and they're done. And I'm kind of making it out to be a little less than it is, but 5 minutes is about the maximum they're going to spend behind the wheel to prove that they're safe to be out on the roads with us. And then somewhere north of 50% of them crash in the first 2 years.
And
that's not a good number.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to dig a little deeper with you into
sure.
the why this is happening, because microcultures in cities are so very important and they're so strong. I mean, you were saying that's like a badge of honor to be right up against the back of someone's bumper or to not use your blinker. But we're starting to see signs out there on the highways saying,
blinker. You know, they're at least bringing it to attention. And some of that is education. I mean, the reality is we didn't have, and this is, again, I think it's a national problem, but specifically here in Boston, we did not have a great education ourselves as to how to be good drivers. I'll put you on the spot. What's the safe following distance for that car in front of you?
So what I learned is, 10 car lengths for every 10 miles an hour? No, so one car length for every 10
miles.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, that's what a lot of us learned. So that's good. You learned wrong. We've all learned that. That was what I was taught in driver's ed in the 80s. The reality is that's, you know, at 20 miles an hour, two car lengths is plenty. At 50 miles an hour, five car lengths is not enough. It takes exponentially longer for you to stop the faster you're going. So you learned a linear equation to figure out how close to follow. That's not going to work. You need to use what we do as time. You should be 3 seconds behind the car in front of you. I drove here today from Lexington. I can tell you what, there was not a lot of people leaving 3 seconds between the car in front of them, at least not on purpose.
Right, because, I mean, that last 3 seconds is very important to say.
Exactly, and we tend to, you know, again, it's that Boston Strong mentality. I love this city. I love a lot of things about Massachusetts and what we do. But, you know, getting up on somebody's bumper is not doing anybody a favor.
Okay, so we've got some callers who want to weigh in here. So let's see, let's roll through them. No pun intended. Jay is calling from Belmont. You're on the air, Jay. Hello, Jay. Okay, moving on. Jay, you're with us. What's your thought today?
I'd like to describe a technique that I see my friends. We call it the fake out. And that's when you're turning from a side street onto a main street. You act as if you are not going to stop to sort of play chicken with the drivers coming down the main street. So they'll slam on their brakes and you can pull in front of them.
Jay, thank you for your call. Not sure I love that that's actually happening on streets around the Commonwealth, but let's turn to Stephanie, who's calling from Fenway. You're on the air, Stephanie.
Yes, so Jay's technique is not exclusive to cars. I drive a double stroller with two kids under the age of three and have multiple times been yelled out the window to get out of the street when I'm walking with the pedestrian sign on from our grocery store to our apartment building.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, and are you, I'm seeing here that you weren't originally from the Boston area, that you grew up somewhere?
Yeah, I'm from Nashville, so I think it is cultural. It's just entitled, we own the road, get out of it, including people. I think we're kinder to bikers and then less kind to actual walkers and sadly moms with strollers because people do not seem to care that there are children in the car or in the stroller.
Yeah.
I think it would be like a big badge of do not hit, but apparently not.
Stephanie, I feel your pain because I have a young child as well, and I find myself trying to inculcate into her, never presume the driver's going to stop when you're in the crosswalk. Let's take another one. Fred is calling from Stoughton. You're on the air, Fred.
Hi. A lot of times I feel like, okay, why is this guy in my way? You know, it's that kind of, I am right, he or she is wrong, and that's kind of the thing that gets me to be a bad driver. I like to be a good driver. I like to drive, you know, according to the law, safely. I've driven professionally, drove cab in Boston for 10 years, drove a school bus, and have a really good driving record. But I find myself doing the same thing a lot of people on the road around me are doing, kind of like monkey see, monkey do, and it's almost like this mindset of, I'm right.
Right. Fred, thank you so much for your call. Sedan Strollo, I have to say, I totally get where Fred's coming from. Because when he said, monkey see, monkey do, everyone else is doing it anyway.
It's a bit contagious. I mean, I'm not going to argue that point at all. And as you see more people not following the rules, other people tend to start to do the same thing. But it puts us at this incredible disadvantage. Things like rotaries. Here, rotaries are this incredibly scary concept for a lot of people. But in other countries, they're integrating them more into the roads because they're actually safer. If people follow the rules and knew the laws and yield to the people who are already in the rotary, it allows you not to have to stop. It reduces the number of people getting T-boned. There's all these huge benefits to it, but we just haven't gotten the concept down because we don't pay attention to the rules.
So I'm seeing here, for example, that this sort of general lackadaisical, if I might say, attitude towards safety in cars extends to seatbelt usage. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in a July 2011 report said that Massachusetts and New Hampshire have the worst seatbelt usage rates in the country.
We were worst in the country 2 years ago. Then last year, we actually ended up being, I think, 47th, not because we got any better, but because three states got worse. So again, we're supposed to be this incredibly intelligent group of people, but we don't recognize the value seatbelts bring, not just to keeping us from getting hurt, but to keeping us in control of the vehicle in the first place.
Right. So, you know, none of this is anything to be proud of. Let's just be clear about that. So, I mean, if there's a cultural issue when it comes to driving, if there's a, you know, the driving test is only really 5 minutes behind the wheel, what can we do to change this?
I honestly believe that the societal view of driving needs to change to take it more seriously. One of the things we do in the course that we offer, we put people in emergency situations and give them the opportunity to see how easy it is to lose control. And that opportunity tends to humble people. And then the idea is, if we can talk to more folks and really let them know, I mean, this is the number one killer of young people. If you look at, for most age groups, you know, under the age of 40, this is the most likely cause of death, and unnatural cause of death in a lot of cases beyond that. There's reason, we take this as a kind of a rite of passage. New drivers are going to crash. It's just something that's going to happen. We're going to crash every couple of years, according to the study. It doesn't have to be that way. There's countries where the crash rates are far less. In Germany, with the Autobahn, in countries with roads that are far skinnier than ours, and they're learning to deal with bikes and pedestrians, if we took the actual rules more seriously and really had some skills and knew how to drive. There's a lot of experienced drivers out there, but there really aren't that many who are skilled at it.
You know, I also just think of the fact that there's been lots of changes in terms of attitudes saying regarding, say, drunk driving. So we can change attitudes
Absolutely.
Of people behind the
Absolutely.
Wheel. So that's a good thought to go out on. And I also just want to put one last call out there for common courtesy. We can be Boston strong and be civil behind the wheel.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan Strollo, president of the In Control Family Foundation, a nonprofit defensive driving school, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much again.
And listeners, we had a lot of callers who wanted to put their two cents in. I say go to our website, radioboston.org, and share your stories there. And please do continue to drive safely. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's more in a moment. This is Radio Boston.